You're listening to
How Yoshi Did It
Podcast with Yoshi Obayashi.
Don't you ever all be sad. Lean on me when times get bad. When the day come and I know you die in a river of trouble, you're about to drown. Hold on, time coming.
All right, welcome to new episode, Yoshi Den. I don't know why I always say that. Episode 148. I'm here with Rosie Tran and Rosie, do you have anything to promote? I guess your podcast, right?
Yeah, check.
Let's
out.
Do it in the beginning, and because I might forget, and do it in end. So tell everyone about your great podcast.
Check out of the Box Podcast. I'm on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud, and we have a bunch of interesting guests. You guys can check out some of the older episodes, because sometimes when I put newer ones out, they push the old episodes behind, and I. You know, I have a couple fans who are listening and catching up on the older ones, and they're like, oh, I missed this one or I missed that one. But I think the last guest I had was another tranny. So that's always.
You got a female transgender person?
Yeah, I've had a couple. I've had like three on the show, I think.
Which one? Do I know? Are they in porn? I didn't know about this.
Yeah, I've had a couple. I think the last one I had was Yasmin Lee.
Oh, I recognize her.
She was in The Hangover 3, I think.
Yeah.
Playing the Thai tranny. So, check her out.
How did you find her?
Actually...
Did you call Jim Norton?
Actually, I think she approached me about being on the show. So
she did?
I think so. I think she did.
How did she know about you?
Apparently, there's not that many Asian podcasters. I was actually approached.
I'm shocked I haven't been approached.
I was approached by another Asian actor, but his PR people were such a-holes that I actually turned them down.
Okay.
So I've been approached by a couple Asian American people because I'm Asian and I have a lot of Asian guests.
Funny, I have not.
Maybe they don't want to be associated with you, Yoshi, too much.
I'm going to mention a couple of things, but first I have to tell people because it's been over a month and a half since the new episode, and I will be joining my two friends, Aiden Riley, director for Belladonna Entertainment. Used to be married to great Belladonna. If she's not the greatest, she's one of top three performers in adult business of all time, and just amazing, amazing person, a great personality, and you know, she's just incredible in my opinion. And Peter Warren, who is still working for AVN. So follow Aiden, Content Whore. That's his Twitter handle. Except he spelled WH, and instead of O, he uses numerical number 0, RE, Content Whore. And Peter Warren, PeterWarren. And I'll be joining their podcast, our podcast, The Irrelevant 3, from May 21st. I think it'll be on YouTube and podcast format as well. So that's one. I'm helping my friend Angie Crum, Jonathan Branstein, and Randy Puga's new comedy show every month starting May 10th, every Tuesday at Palm Tree. And that's on 3240 Walshire Boulevard and number 401. And it's in Palm Tree, LA, in K-Town, every Tuesday from May 10th. So there'll be three or four different comedians, and of course we're very happy to say Rosie will be part of that, hosting and hopefully featuring and doing other good shows. And she'll be perfect, just like Aiko Tanaka and hopefully Esther Cool and people like that, because after all it is in K-Town. And May 5th I'll be in Sacramento, Laughs Unlimited, 8 p.m. The name of the show is There Goes the Neighborhood, 8 p.m. show. I'll be doing that. And I don't know why I'm saying backward. April 25th through May 1st I'll be in Las Vegas for
Yoshi is Palm Tree, a karaoke bar.
Yeah, it's a big one. They're using them like a one big room, hold up to like 60 to 70 people. And I'm helping them, but it's their room. I'm not putting any money or anything like that. So anyway, April 25th through May 1st, Las Vegas Live Comedy Club. I'm opening for Edwin San Juan at Planet Hollywood. So that's about it. This is episode 148. I might cheat and make this like part two or part three. Maybe have a Rosie again, because I'm trying to read that book, American Girls by Nancy Joselle, maybe in 2 weeks. But in between, maybe I'll interview Aiko. So possibly three-parter for episode 148. I'm doing one big one, episode 149, by myself, and finally 150, the last episode, and I'm done with mine. So thanks for doing it, but I have to say a couple of things. There are certain comedians we respect too, and we'll talk about Gary Shanley next, but first, I was having a meeting with Aidan Riley and Peter Warren about this. It's a heavy emphasis on adult business because they've been in business and I know them from adult business. But
and you've been in the business.
I've been out of it for four, but I do miss talking to those guys. But it'll be heavily emphasis on adult business. But I think we're also going to talk about things outside of it, like video games, cosplay, manga, and other stuff that we shouldn't be into because we're in the mid to late 40s, some of us. But we don't want to grow up. So
I don't think anyone could accuse you of growing up, Yoshi.
Yeah. So that's that. But anyway, when we were having a meeting in Sherman Oaks at Pizza Parlor, and guess who walked up to me, always showing his class, a talent, and just a wonderful human being. Randall Park from Fresh Off the Boat.
And Randall's very classy. I saw him at the Target a couple weeks ago.
And of course, you saw him interview playing Kim Jong-un. So he just walked up to me. He was very kind. You know, Dr. Ken, Randall is such a great guy. It's even possible that he's a notch above niceness with Ken. Because I don't know Ken, but he's always been classy. But those two guys, unbelievable, talented, kind, and I saw him with his wife, and he didn't introduce me to his wife because why would you? And she's a beautiful, classy lady with their beautiful child.
And she's an actress too, and pretty successful too.
They're very, very nice, and I didn't realize my hair. You know, when you're losing your hair, I can't put mousse like the way I used to when I was in my 20s and 30s. So I just don't do anything because that kind of makes me a little younger. But sometimes when I put my hat and take it off, it looks like a fucking one of those Chinese bird's nest suit. So I'm walking around with this crazy hair, but still Randall was kind enough to walk up and say hello and walk up to me before he left. He's just a class and incredibly talented actor, stand-up comic, and I'm just happy that he's playing my friend Eddie. You know, Eddie for the Fresh Off the Boat. So,
no, what, so great guy. He plays Eddie's dad.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
He plays Eddie's dad.
He plays Eddie's play by the little...
By the little boy.
Yeah.
By Jeff Yangson. Jeff Yangson.
Yeah, and because the dad of the kid, real dad, writes for Wall Street Journal reviewing movies and TV stuff, right?
Yes,
yeah.
And he also wrote an article about me, Yoshi, in 2006.
See, look at how far he went.
Look how far he's gone, and look how I feel like you only have me on your podcast because I laugh at your silly Asian jokes.
So yes. So anyway, I saw Randall, just classy guy. I'm very happy for him, and you know, it's like, let's be honest, when reputation really matters, and if you hear things simping over by certain people, it's because a lot of it is probably true. You know,
he's a really good guy. I'm glad the show's doing well too.
Oh yeah, I want him all the success. He's a tremendous actor, and very happy. But anyway, I was very happy that he didn't forget about me because he used to do shows years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Great. And Dr. Ken is too. I mean, they're just a classy people, so talented. Yesterday, Gary Shandling passed away.
Very sad. Very sad. Talented guy. By the way, all the reports say they don't know the reason. Was it
heart attack?
Okay, got it. All the reports I saw at the time said undisclosed reason.
Yeah. So did you ever meet him?
I did meet Gary Shandling once, but I can't remember. I think it was at a taping for something. What was that show that had four comedians? Paul Provenza.
Yeah.
Paul Provenza. I met him there.
Okay.
I met him there, and I met Richard Belzer there. And
I can't remember. Is Richard Belzer still alive?
Oh, I don't know. Away. I think Richard Belzer is still alive.
Okay.
Richard Belzer had his dog with him, and I held his dog and petted his dog.
Did you have a chance to talk to Gary Shandling?
I think just for 2 seconds, but I didn't. I didn't know the guy. I just met him briefly.
I'm very grateful because I like that this particular podcast still doesn't exist because of all the drama in the last 7-8 months. But Bill Simmons' BS report, I remember one time he was talking to, I can't remember who he was talking to, but they were talking about Manny Pacquiao getting beaten, and they were talking about that fight. And I remember vividly watched the fight, listened to Bill Simmons in his case. I don't remember who he was talking to. So when I met Gary Shandling for that hour or two at the Comedy Magic Club, because I'm a huge fan of his, I really love his writing, and Larry Sanders' show on HBO, if you're not as old as I am, if you haven't seen it.
Wasn't Sarah Silverman a writer on the show?
Yeah, she was also star of it, sure.
I can't remember her being...
She was on it.
I have a bad memory.
No, but if you watched it when it was on, you were Billy. How old are you now?
32.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you would have been, what is this, like 5, 6, or 7, I think.
I probably saw reruns because I remember watching it. But we didn't have HBO, so I must have seen reruns.
Because even though it was released on HBO, HBO never had ownership on it. So if you go HBO Go...
It's not on there.
It's not on there. So they just made it finally a deal with Sony, and it's going to get on HBO. But very sad, he passed away yesterday. And for those of you, if you have a chance, please watch his stand-up. I mean, Gary Shandling's stand-up was incredible. I love his timing. Very slow. And
more like witty.
Witty.
Yeah.
And the fact that Johnny Carson loved him. And there was a lot of talk in the early 90s that he could have hosted, but he'd rather do a scripted show about late night talk show.
I thought he got offered to host it and he turned it down.
He turned it down. He didn't want to do it. And I want to thank Comedy Magic Club for letting me hang out and talk to him. And we talked about boxing. But I was so nervous because he's like, you know, I don't like calling people heroes and stuff. Too many people do it. But boy, I really love that show. And I really look up to him. And I wish I would have taken a picture with him. I just figure out next time when I see him, take a picture. But
Yoshi, you've said that 3 times already, and people have died, so you're obviously very bad luck.
Joan Rivers, I never met her.
Stop trying to kill all these people.
I never met a... God damn it. Who did he commit suicide? Robin Williams.
So if Yoshi says that he wants to take a picture of you, but he'll do it next time, run, because you're going to die soon.
So that's it. Rosie... you know, every time we have one of these, since it's random anyway, but let's talk about. So you moved. We don't want to say where, but you moved to a new place, a better place. Interior, amazing. Bigger place, clean. Other place, nice, but this is like a bigger place. Interior wise, it's just amazing, fancy. Miss Fancy Pants over here.
I decorated myself. We renovated. It looked very 1990s. And we renovated per my taste. So, Yoshi, I have good taste.
Did you sell the other place?
We did sell it, and we made a nice amount of money.
Okay, good.
And the reason Yoshi's bringing this up is because Yoshi recently was my witness at Doggy Court.
Am I supposed to come here next week or something?
On Monday, yeah.
Oh, you need me for Monday.
Yeah, I'll come pick you up.
Okay.
I don't know if you want to explain... your point of view of the doggy court, in case people are like, what is she talking about?
Okay, I'll say in a way, you correct me if
okay.
I'm saying
you tell the Yoshi version, and I'll correct
okay,
you.
I don't know when you contact me, but within the last month, you contact me telling me that you're having problem with your neighbor upstairs. I don't want to know her name, so let's call her Precious, right? Let's call her Precious. So anyway, she accused of you and Andrew that one or both of your dogs are barking. And we say dogs because at the time, there was a period, you did have 2 dogs. Unfortunately, one of them passed away. Very sad.
Very sad.
Very sad. By the way, it's crazy that you spent $5,000 in medical for the dog.
Thank you, Yoshi. Thank you for reminding me. Yes, we tried to save her life, and she still died. She had cancer.
Can you imagine if your great-grandfather was alive?
First of all, before she died,
yeah,
there was at least 3 different instances, podcast listeners, where before she was sick, Yoshi said, how sick would your dog have to be before you said put her to sleep?
Did I say that?
Yoshi would regularly ask me, what is a dollar sign for my dog's life? Regularly.
Well, obviously you put a price on it because $5,000. Because can you imagine if your great grandfather is here? He was probably born in one village in Vietnam, probably lived all his life and died there. His land's being occupied by Westerner. So not only does his great-granddaughter marry to the enemy, not to mention to the enemy, but you when you walk in the house, there is actually pillows made of your dog's... It's so weird. Like, can you imagine? It's like bizarre. Like, wait a minute. My great-granddaughter is married to an enemy, and there's a dog's picture on furniture. I'm assuming some Vietnamese people eat dogs. So, like, that'd be just like science fiction, too, right? 100 years from now, your descendant will be married to an enemy, and there's going to be a picture of a meal on pillows and blanket. And she's going to spend $5,000 saving the dog. It'll be just... Right?
Yes.
It must be Isaac Asimov because like that's a crazy talk. I don't know what's $5,000 back in those days, but that should be a lot of money equivalent, right? I bet you your great-grandfather said, this bitch is crazy, right?
Maybe he would, Yoshi, but just so you know, there was no dollar amount. Actually, there was a dollar amount that was too great. Because my dog had splenic and liver cancer.
Yeah.
And the doctors suggested doggy chemotherapy.
Yeah.
Which cost $30,000. And
In the microwave oven?
And I said no. I'm laughing about this, but just so you guys know, I'm a crazy dog lady. As Yoshi said, there's furniture, pillows with crocheted pictures of my dog. I love my dog, and I am still
I believe you.
I'm still very, very sad about it. But
I wouldn't even spend $5,000 on my grandmother.
Yoshi would beat up his grandmother for $5,000. But so the price tag was apparently $30,000 because they said chemotherapy $30,000 and we said no. So we did the surgery and then we tried to save her and she still passed.
You think the dog would survive if it was chemo?
No, actually the reason we said no to the chemo is because doggy chemotherapy is a very low likelihood of survival.
Yeah.
As well. We did doggy cancer research online.
Sure.
So we just thought, you know, why put her through that? And then she's, you know, she's not going to know what's going on.
I mean, I wouldn't have said it at the time, but if it gets to a certain point, it almost becomes like it's no longer it's about the dog, but it's with the owners because they just don't want to deal with inevitable ending of the dog.
Yes.
The dog that you love, you know? So
So the point of this whole story was that our dog who did bark
passed away. Yeah.
And the irony was that she would bark all the time and the neighbor never ever complained.
Right.
So our other dog who Yoshi has known for 7 years, Yoshi, have you ever heard my schnauzer bark?
I tried to punch that dog in the face, right? Like an hour ago, remember? Like a fake punch. It wouldn't even make a sound. And I am not kidding when I say this. Rosie and her husband could be sleeping, places on fire, the dog would just stare and burn to death.
He's a very quiet dog.
It's quiet. So the fact is this lady accused that dog barking, I could infer two things. One, that Rosie is lying, which I don't believe. Two, she's lying. Or three, she actually hear the barking, but it's the same kind of thing when that guy, Berkowitz here, son of Sam, the dogs, you know, just imagine it because they're crazy. They're hearing stuff. So anyway, Rosie told me to go.
Well, so we came home one night from a gig. Yeah. I was at a gig in Palm Springs. Andrew and I came home and we had a nasty note on our door from our neighbor saying the dog was barking.
Yeah.
The next day she came to our door screaming.
Yeah.
Accusing our dog of barking nonstop.
Right.
And then she complained to the city and wrote three nasty letters to the city.
Right.
To the point where we were forced to go to a hearing, a doggy court hearing with the city. And I called Yoshi to ask him to come as my physical protection because I was scared of my neighbor.
Here's the thing. I went mostly because I want to support Rosie, but that's really like a 10% reason. But 90% is like, it's just funny. It's an animal court, you know, like I just want to go and what is that about? Cause You see, have you seen that painting of dogs playing poker game? You seen that painting?
I have. Actually, have you seen... Oh, you don't like John Oliver. I was going to say, have you seen the John Oliver Supreme Court doggy video?
No, no. I don't have anything against John Oliver. He just looked like Christian Mann, my former boss that I hate. He looks like him. And just annoying, to just have annoying look to him. So, you know, I just... He's an incredibly funny guy. Just his face fucking bugs me because... It reminds me of somebody that I don't like. Anyway,
okay, so the doggy poker.
So I thought it'd be funny. Like you walk in, you see a dog. You know how those English court, they have judges with the funny
wigs,
right? So I thought it'd be funny walking in. There's like a white dog, like a poodle with a funny thing on top of it, and they have the fake hands like the insult dog.
Oh, from Letterman?
Yeah.
No,
Conan O'Brien.
From Conan,
yeah.
Triumph,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
So it has a fake hand. So I want to go check it out. So it's actually animal shelter. And when I lost my friend's cat 2 years ago, I have to say, I really changed my mind. People work in those shelters, for most part, they're incredible people. They're getting shit money, and they love those animals, you know? But when we walked in, there was a gay judge. He was so gay, right? He looked like one of those Filipino, Puerto Rican...
He was Hispanic with blonde highlights in his hair. Mm-hmm. He definitely had blonde streaks, and he was very sassy.
Yeah.
And no-nonsense. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Very no-nonsense.
No, but he was not an aggressive no-nonsense. Like, just give me the facts. You don't have to put anything... Just tell me exactly what happened and make it succinct, please. And like, uh-huh. And remember, the Precious even said... The reason I call Precious because she looked like Black Jabba the Hutt. So anyway,
that's my neighbor.
So we walk into this room,
yeah. A small office with it looks like one of those interrogation rooms from Law and Order SVU.
Yeah.
And my neighbor came in, Yoshi came in with me, and the no-nonsense.
She sat across from us.
And the no-nonsense, sassy...
judge was sitting between us.
Between us.
And I didn't really do anything. I just sit there and like, listen. You know, I didn't make mean face. I like...
Yoshi was trying his hardest not to laugh. And after she...
Well, I mean, it was just like...
And after she left, he did laugh.
But it's just so ridiculous. Like, you know, I know that dog is not barking, you know? But what made me laugh, like even the Precious even said like, I haven't heard the dog barking in a while, right? So that the gay judge is like, oh, this is great. So there's no problem. Everything's resolved. Everybody's happy. I like his voice because he genuinely wanted to get conflict resolution, want to be happy, you know. But she said her side, you said your side. Ever make a note?
I don't think I got to say my side because she already admitted that there was no problem.
Yeah.
So he just like dismissed it.
But following day, she said the dog started barking, right?
Yes, the following day. Well, before we go to the following day. So,
yeah.
So the hilarious part was after her five or six total multiple complaints, including nasty letters on the door, letters to the city, she actually admitted the dog was not barking, and she actually said she had no evidence.
Yeah.
Remember, he asked her for evidence, and she didn't have anything.
No. She said, I forgot to bring it with me.
Yes. Why would you forget to bring evidence to a hearing?
But here's the thing, like... It makes me laugh because you could bring audio clip of some other dog barking, but how would you know that's your dog? You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to sound like, you know, Law and Order and be a defense attorney, but that could be, like, unless you have a clip of the dog barking, of a video of the dog barking, right? Like, how would you know? So crazy. And what's so funny, we just got over here. I didn't know you guys share garage. And I just saw her husband. I'm sure he's a nice guy. He had this such a loud motorcycle. Wouldn't that be a more problem? It was so loud. I mean, it was cool, I have to say. It looks cool.
It was like a Harley Davidson.
Yeah, he looked like the Black Punisher from Marvel, right? Really loud motorcycle. But like, people could have complained. But I know you know, and all the neighbors confirmed that they're wrong. Even the security said they haven't heard your dog barking. So it's just a moot cause. But it would be very sad if she had a mental illness and she actually heard. So if she's suffering from mental illness, she actually heard dog barking, then she's not telling a lie, right? But that's just a sad story.
Anyway, so that was our experience.
Yeah.
And Yoshi was my witness protection / bodyguard in case anything went awry.
Yeah, I was the Johnny Cochran, right? By the way, everybody should watch the O.J. Simpson, People versus O.J. Simpson, whatever the title.
I haven't seen it.
It's great. It's really good.
Wait, so you're saying now that you've been to several different courts. You've been to animal court, and what are the other two courts you've been to?
My uncle used to be an attorney, so I used to go there delivering paper or picking up stuff in Tacoma, Washington. And I used to deliver legal documents, almost get punched in the face because quite often I'm delivering.
Like you would serve papers.
Yeah, it's so unpleasant. It's so unpleasant. So, and like I remember one time that I worked for my uncle's office like during the summertime and like reordered those legal documents, alphabetical order. And I was so bored, sometimes I ended up reading those documents, you know, like crazy stuff like murder, rape, and DUI, or somebody semi-famous in town. You're not supposed to, but whenever I saw something interesting, I read and like...
You're not supposed to, but I read all these private legal documents.
So as a kid, like, I can't believe people do shit like they're murdering and rape or accused of sexual assault and things like that. So I did learn human nature through that. Early 90s, and like in late 80s after I graduated from high school, working on Michael Dukakis' campaign, that those campaigns, man, it is terrifying. I was in South Central LA sitting up for Michael Dukakis to show up, and there was a couple of those anti-abortion nuts, and when they were start screaming during Dukakis' speech,
it was scary.
I mean, I was technically adult, but the anger that you hear, it's like those growl that angry dogs make. Man,
let me ask you a question.
It was scary. Like, oh my God, these motherfuckers are serious. I mean, they really believe in something, and they will not. I thought he was going to shoot people.
Let me ask you a question about some of these people. So there's these protesters that come.
Oh, here's Andrew.
Andrew's home. So there's these protesters and stuff who come to these
rallies.
His name
is Andrew, or I like to call him Digital Messiah, because he fixed my laptop.
So you know about the riots and stuff at the Donald Trump rally, right?
I follow a little bit of it, sure.
Okay, so there's pro-Trump supporters, and then there's these anti-Trump supporters who come to the rally, maybe similar to those anti-abortion protesters that came to the Dukakis rallies. What do you think is the purpose other than inciting a fight? Because what do you think is going to happen when you go to a rally, political rally, and you're completely against the point of view of the person that's there? Don't you think they're doing it to cause problems?
Even though it was South Central LA and people are against Dukakis and they're very angry, there was still a little bit of sense of civility back in that day. And, you know, you're talking 28 years ago. You know, wow, that was a long time ago. But I don't know what's the point, because I think most people are unreasonable, including myself. They have a position, they make argument to support that position. It's not like most people like, let me think, what do I think about issue A, B, and C issues, look at all the argument for both sides, and like conclusion, like after considering all the facts, I take issue A or issue B. I don't think most people are like that. They're in a certain position and they make all kinds of points to support their points, you know. But I don't know why would you go rallies except you're mad at somebody and you want to cause problems, you know. Like you guys took me to Bernie Sanders thing, and I'm surprised he has gone as far as he has. But the reality is, unless you're idiots like watching House of Cards and you could go to do something at convention. At this point, numerically, it's just not possible. I mean...
Yes, but can I say that 6 months ago, a year ago, nobody thought it would be numerically possible for Donald Trump the way it is now? Nobody expected Trump to go this far. Nobody did.
But I think one of the big differences, Trump's been pretty much always been ahead of race. People thought other candidates going to from behind, overtake him. That hasn't happened. I think Bernie has been always been number two, right? Granted, he did an outstanding job, and I think he means well, and he's been pretty consistent, and I think a lot of social issues, he's been on the right side of history. But I have to say, even though I'm poor and I have no money, I still have to say some of the financial stuff he talk about, I just don't buy into that personally. I just don't. But I think he's a great guy. I cannot see a scenario where Bernie Sanders say, okay, I'll be a vice president. I think, you know what would be amazing? If Elizabeth Warren becomes Hillary's vice president, I would like to see that, because I have a tremendous amount of respect for her. I don't know if I agree with a lot of her position, but she is a very principled person, and I don't believe Wall Street believe in capitalism, because when they irresponsibly bet all the money and they fuck up and they lose all the money, they want the government to bail them out. That's not capitalism.
I totally agree with that, and I've said that many times.
That's not capitalism.
That's social.
I don't put a condom and fuck around and have AIDS, but like I transfer that AIDS to somebody who is so sexually responsible. That is irresponsible. President Obama should let those, politically, that would have been bad thing, but economically, you fuck around, you should face the consequence of that. That's how things work.
I totally agree, Yoshi, and I think most people do, regardless of whether they're on the left or the right of politics. I think most people agree with that statement.
Basically, they're saying they're too big to fail, but you guys are too small to succeed. That's what they're saying. And I don't agree with that. That's not capitalism. I think Milton Friedman and Adam Smith would say if they made an irresponsible decision, they should suffer the consequence like everyone else. That's why I think Wall Street should be punished. Believe me, I am full of capitalism, but that bullshit that they put in 2008, it's not. It just confirmed Adam McKay was correct in The Big Short. It's very disappointing that what Wall Street did in 2008 is very rational, because in back of their head, back of their mind, it's like these bratty kids, even though they're being irresponsible, they know mommy and daddy is going to bail them out. That's why they act like a shithead, because they know they're going to get bailed out. Or, you know what I mean? Whereas my case, nobody's going to give a fuck. Nobody's going to give a fuck. Like, oh, well, you're going to be dead in the ditch. Nobody's going to come and help you. So Elizabeth Warren, I don't agree with everything, but I really respect her. I really, really do. Let's do like maybe 20 minutes, and after dinner, come back. Maybe okay. A little bit more, then I'll walk back, even though it's very scary to walk out of here. Overall, I didn't know we were going to talk about politics, but I don't agree with Donald Trump, and a lot of it is nonsense. He doesn't strike me presidential, but I have to say, if I turn off the sound, I have to say, because I'm a fan of wrestling, he's doing an outstanding job of showmanship. Because this is something that Obama didn't understand beginning of his campaign. People don't give a fuck about facts. People don't give a fuck about reasoning, being reasonable. He had to learn the hard way. People want to be fucking entertained. And Trump knows that. He really does. So all that guys like Kasich,
right? Let's use Kasich as an example.
Kasich seemed pretty reasonable, even though he is, out of all of them, not the most crazy one.
But he's a little crazy. But he seems reasonable, and he seems like he's... First of all, every single person that goes against Trump on the right, on the GOP side, is like, I don't want to sink to this level. I don't want to... resort to name calling. I don't want to resort to this. I don't want to resort to that.
Yeah.
I'm going to be civil. And their numbers just keep shrinking and shrinking.
Yeah.
So obviously, sadly, like you said, the American people don't give a fuck about facts or issues or whatever.
My asshole had more charisma than Kasich, right? And compared to him, to all of them, he seemed reasonable, but he's not. I mean, he still is a little nutty, right? But he doesn't have a personality and very low charisma, even though I'm not a big fan of charisma, because Hitler, Chairman Mao, and Stalin had a lot of charisma too. It's usually people with lack of substance, but he's not going to win. And Rubio, I mean, he's such a phony. You know, even though he was young, he seemed the type of person like always want to consulting consulting him, like telling him what to say.
Like a market research person?
Yeah, he's like one of those Mr. Little Two Good Two Shoes, you know?
First of all, everyone says Rubio is so young. He's 44.
Yeah.
And Ted Cruz is 49. So I don't understand the big, he's so young. He just has a young-looking face.
Yes.
He's not that young. I mean, he's not that old, but I mean, Ted Cruz...
He's the youngest out of all of them.
He is, but Ted Cruz is only a couple years older. Ted Cruz just has an old sourpuss face.
Cruz is only... He's 1 year younger than me, but the problem with him, he is nuts, but here's the thing. He's so fucking unlikable. And here's another thing. Get a hairstyle, because he looked like a fucking vampire, right? Have you seen his face? He looked like Eddie Monster looked like a wolf, but he looked like a vampire. And you know this dumb movie from 40s and 50s, really bad B movie? He's so unlikable. And two, it made me laugh. He tried to hug his daughter and she refused. That's how fucking unlikable you are. What a piece of shit, you know? And two, this is the part that really annoys me. This motherfucker, when he was in college, he was playing a poker game, right? And he was down $2,000. So because he didn't want to pay in the college dorm, he got out of the room, went to the school, and snitched on everyone there. So everybody got in trouble, so he doesn't have the $2,000. He's a fucking scumbag. I just don't like Trump because the things he say, I don't even think he believes that. He's just a bullshitter and a con artist. And to me, he really is the Lannister, right? He looks like a lot.
I absolutely loved the Instagram photos that you posted with Hillary House Martell, right?
Yeah. Oleana Martell.
Oleana Martell. Yeah. So guys, go check out Yoshi's. What is your...
Yoshi Obayashi.
It's just your name?
Yeah.
Okay, so no one's going to be able to find it unless they already follow you. Obayashi is hard to spell for white people.
Yeah.
And then it's Trump and Ivana and him as the Lannisters.
Yeah, because they both have blonde hair.
And they both have creepy incestual relationships.
Well, I mean, he's talking about her tits one time. And like
the picture that you posted is super creepy. Where did you find it?
Oh, I always look specifically that matches with I had a picture of Lannister, Cersei, and Jaime Lannister looking at each other. And I had a picture of Trump and Ivanka looking one direction, which is instead of looking the direction of Lannisters, right?
And then House Bolton was...
Vladimir Putin.
Yeah. Very good post. Check out his Instagram, Yoshi Obayashi. Very funny. It made me laugh.
But Trump talked about... You know, if Ivanka was not my daughter, I would date her. Like, it's really creepy, but...
Well, she kind of looks like the chicks that he dates.
Yeah.
He always likes the blonde, foreign-looking...
So, at this point, unless something crazy happened to his health or something, chances are Trump's going to be nominated.
It's Trump versus Hillary.
Yeah. And it'll be very, very...
Let me ask your opinion.
Very interesting.
Because you know what? First of all, I'm not going to vote.
You're not going to vote?
I'm not. I withdrew my voting because I did not want to do jury duty anymore. I've been called for jury duty multiple times.
Yeah.
And I personally felt that my vote did not count. So I withdrew from voting. So really, I'm a bad person to talk about voting because I am not going to vote. However, let me just say that I've voted in every election and I vote in every local election normally.
Yeah.
But because I have not felt like my vote has counted, I withdrew my vote. However...
Interesting. This is the first vote on voting, legitimate vote in 20 years. Because last three votes, when I handed in the ballot, either I forgot to sign it, or I didn't put a postage or something. You know, there's a problem or whatnot.
I usually do vote by mail as well.
But I'm going to go vote, and if it's between those two, well, I don't think it really matters because I don't see a scenario. I still have a hard time believing Trump could win California.
Okay, so well, let me mm-hmm. say my point. So anyway, I am morally on the left, realistically on the more libertarian. Is my point of view.
Sure.
Even though I consider myself more of an independent, I morally support Bernie, but I don't think he'll win. I'm okay with Hillary. I like her, but I want to ask you because I just feel that there is a tidal wave of angry anti-Hillary hatred on the internet and just around. And I feel like she is like the Dane Cook of politics, because I feel like people just hate her to hate her, and I really don't. Yeah, she's really awkward. She has no charisma, but I think she's a good politician.
Do you think people hate her more than they hate Trump?
I think that the people that hate Hillary really hate Hillary. And when I ask them why they hate Hillary, the people that I've met that hate Hillary, they start going off on tirades about things that don't make sense to me. It's kind of like the illegal immigration issue. I just don't get it. Here's the thing.
First of all, illegal immigration has dropped quite a bit, and less Mexicans are coming to this country because economy's not that good over here compared to what it was in like mid-2000s.
Well, let me tell you why I don't understand the illegal immigration issue. I understand the issues.
Yes.
I'm not retarded. I get them. But anytime I ask someone who is my friend, who is of Hispanic origin, about the illegal immigration issue, they're so emotional that they just start screaming about how the whole system is racist and blah, 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 and they don't give me any facts. So I've yet to met a person who is for amnesty or for legalization that has given me a fact-based explanation.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes. And what is your position on immigration?
My position, a lot of people probably would get really angry about. I don't understand it, and I don't understand why people can't come here legally. My parents came here illegally. And I have friends that have come here legally that are Asian and Hispanic.
Yeah, you're talking into one.
Exactly. My best friend is Mexican, and she came here legally. And I don't understand why. To me, what I understand is that it's people that are desperate. Okay, I understand that. But why don't they just want to wait in line? I have met people that are legal immigrants that could have been legal by now.
Sure.
If they would have just done the process. They've been here illegally 14 years.
Yeah.
And it only takes 10 years to become a citizen. So I don't understand. And anytime I ask a Hispanic person why they're so against it, they just start screaming and screaming and screaming.
Oh, so these are Hispanic born here. They're against...
So, no. I have friends who are Hispanic. They're legal citizens.
Yeah.
But they claim that the immigration system is racist and it's unfair, and they think there should be amnesty for illegals. And then when I ask them why they think that, instead of giving me facts, they just start screaming how the government's racist.
I don't know. I mean,
like, why can't they just apply? I had a friend who was a legal immigrant, and I had another friend, actually the Andrew's ex-girlfriend, the person I met him through, who's a Russian stripper.
Yeah.
She was able to get citizenship. We had a mutual friend who was an illegal immigrant. We both begged her to just file her papers.
Yeah.
And she refused to. And my friend, who's a Russian stripper, was like, if I can get it, anyone can. Let me help you. And we begged her to help her, and she refused. She would rather be illegal because she was scared of deportation. But if she would have just applied, she would have been a citizen by now. That's what I don't understand.
Well, it's you talk in group of people who are desperate, and they've had problem with their government, you know. And I remember years ago, McCarthy Park, for those of you who don't know the area, it's the scene in Training Day with Snoop Dogg in wheelchair. So anyway, there's a lot of illegal alien people there. But
you can buy fake IDs down there too.
Yeah.
And drugs.
And I remember hearing one time there was a group of either legal or illegal Salvadorian people. They got pulled over by a cop, and there were four or five of them. They got stopped by a cop, and they all start crying because the police told them to get on their knees or whatever, you know, checking their IDs and things like that. They start crying because where they're coming from, when the cop pulls you and make you do that, they're going
to
shoot you. They're going to kill you. And most people who are desperate, they come from places with terrible government. So fairly or not fairly, it's like somebody who was sexually assaulted and they're timid or afraid to interact with other people. Someone who's never been that experience, it's hard to relate to that.
But don't you want protection? It's like prostitutes who are legalized. Don't you want protection
because
law?
I think you're very smart, rational, but I think if they went through those traumatic experience, maybe it's really hard to trust that, you know? So,
but this is what I don't understand, is they take their kids here, and then the kids are then illegal. It's not the kids' fault. You're 4 years old. How are you supposed to know you're coming here illegal? But that's not my question. My question is, yeah, when I meet these people or meet relatives of these people.
Yeah.
See, you're giving me a logical reason. You're saying they come from a government that yeah. is repressive, and so they're scared to seek the legal route.
Right.
So that's a logical explanation.
Not yes. just immigration, but like even like when they're victims, they're afraid to talk to cops and things like that.
Yes.
They're just afraid of the government.
I yeah. understand that. And that mm. is a good logical yeah. explanation. Yet the 99.9% of people that I've asked mm-hmm. don't give me a reason like that. They just start screaming that the system is racist and getting emotional. And that doesn't help me to understand. How can I be empathetic of your point of view if you just say the system's racist?
Well,
that doesn't give me any facts. I need facts.
The government's so big, I guess sometimes they do things that you could construe as racist, but I think more than anything, quite often government is inefficient, and you know, because it's full of
bureaucracy,
and they make mistakes. So it's unfortunate, but it's
But do you think the system needs to be reformed, or do you think these people need to just apply legally and get over their fear?
I guess it depends on who thinks is what's the problem and who's going to do reform. You know, it's hard.
First of all, I don't think we need to build a wall. I think that's a waste of money.
It's a waste of money.
And I don't want to.
It's a wishful thinking.
And I don't want to keep people out because my parents are immigrants, and I'm okay with immigrants. And you know, everyone, you know, you're an immigrant. My best
sure.
friend is an immigrant from Mexico. My other best friend is an immigrant from Turkey.
Most industrial countries.
So countries. I'm okay with immigration. I just don't. I don't think we should build a wall, but we need to encourage people to come here legally. Look, here's the thing.
PJ O'Rourke says something interesting. He's a humorist. He writes a lot of pro-conservative points. But he said something interesting in one of the books. He said those Cubans that used to traverse shark-infested water to come to this country, you want people like that because those kind of determined people will do more for this country, because when you're desperate, you're going to fight for what little you have. So sometimes people don't want to hear it, but like, just because you're born in this country, why do you think you deserve more?
Yes, and not only that, but
who the fuck are you?
But as you know, Yoshi, I'm a huge fan of financial independence and intelligence, and I think something like 40% of first generation millionaires in this country are immigrants.
Yeah.
So I'm pro immigration. What I don't understand is, look, let's be real. The only reason the government wants people here legally is because if you're an illegal immigrant, you're dodging the law and you're not paying taxes. And usually you're taking social services. That's the number one reason that they want to keep track of you. Because if you're illegal, you're not paying into the system.
But, you know, like, people would say, like, they take jobs away, but don't they buy stuff? Don't they get dental work?
I'm not saying they're taking jobs away. I mean, they're not. The government wants to track them for two reasons.
Yeah.
One, you cannot become a U.S. citizen or resident if you're a criminal.
Right.
And two, so you'll pay taxes into the system. That is the two main reasons the government wants to track immigrants.
But I think... I do think they do pay tax, but they just don't file taxes, and those are the people that government really. I think these things are misplaced, because for most industrialized countries, United States included, all of them, just about every one of them, are having population problem, which is population is not going up, it's going down. There's one exception to that, which is USA. Immigration is the strength of this country.
In industrialized countries, not in the third world.
Third world, so that's a problem.
Yeah.
But in industrial countries, so...
Like Japan, right? So people can't afford to have... there's not enough young people to support Social Security in Japan. Is that correct?
Because the population is going down.
Yes.
Russia is another one. It's problems. So only way you could increase it, that you change certain economic taxation policy, or you give incentive to have more kids, or you open the border. Now, Japan's not going to do that. Japan's not going to do that, and unless the Japanese men and the government entice women to want to get married and have kids, their population is going down, and it's going to be it's a different kind of problem than the one we're facing now.
The taxes I'm talking about are the taxes that are supporting what you're talking about: Social Security tax, Medicare tax. You're not going to be paying that into the system if you're getting paid under the table to be a gardener or be a maid or to be. Because you're a shadow person.
Mm-hmm.
You're under the carpet. You're under the rug. right?
Because so you don't have a record of contributing money, so those people cannot file for...
Yes.
Right.
You can't file, but you're also not paying into the system. This is what I'm talking about. This whole fear of I'm going to get deported, I'm going to... is completely irrational. The government wants you to...
But you look at places like Central Valley, one of the reasons why we have such a fantastic food, and California is one of the biggest food maker, is because these people are paid unbelievable low amount of money. We benefit from that.
Yeah, but they have no protection whatsoever under the law. They can get raped, they can get killed, they can get murdered, they can get their head cut off, and they're completely missing. They can get their body thrown into a ditch, and they have no legal protection because they're illegal.
And they still want to come here because... the option is so much better over here than wherever they come from. I'm one of those crazy person that if they're willing to take a chance and come here, welcome to America. I do like to, I don't mind selling green card too. If you have to have a shitload of money and you want to come here and put money in the business, welcome to America. I think this is just non-issue to me. I think we benefit from... maybe we should become a little more selective with who we let them come, but more we
but
have...
But what is the purpose? I'm not saying no illegal immigration. I'm saying what is the point of coming here illegally? Just file your papers and you'll be a citizen in 10 years. I'm telling you, Yoshi, I have met...
I don't think it's a logical issue. It's just psychological and cultural thing. But I think...
But why not have the government keep track of you? What is the purpose behind it?
I just think they have a lot of fear, but here's the thing.
So you're going to let your life run by fear?
Well,
it doesn't make sense.
When they have kids, they'll be Americanized. It's more, I think, a lot of them sacrificing for their kids and working illegally and whatnot. But one of the major benefits of those people working here is that they are able to make money and send the money back to where they're from, and people in that country benefit from it. So,
or they have kids here who become citizens and then they get deported and families are separated. What I'm saying is that they're coming here illegally is in the wrong, and I don't understand the argument for it. I just don't get it.
They're desperate.
And that's the only argument then.
Here's the thing.
They're desperate.
You guys are both immigrants and I'm hungry. So
all right, give me
something to eat. You guys can talk a little bit later.
Yeah. So I'm sure when you come back, they're just desperate. I understand why they come here, because I have so many shitty jobs in past where, you know, one of the fish company I work for, I mean, literally 98% of people were illegal, and they showed up and took most of those people. But the funny thing is, they'll be back in a month or so, you know? So it's just, to me, theater, and no matter how you feel about it, their option, whether here, irrationally, not going through the system, they're coming back because the option where they're from, it's just...
And I'm not disagreeing, with anything you're saying, Yoshi. I'm saying, why come here illegally when you can come here illegally, have all the benefits and protection of the law? And when you say it's not that easy to come here legally, guess what, motherfuckers? My mom was a illegal immigration attorney, you know, paralegal. So I know all about it.
I just think when you're desperate and...
But there's no reason to be desperate. That's what I'm saying. You can get a student visa. You can ask for asylum. There's literally 1,000 ways for you to become a citizen legally.
I think they're desperate because I think not everyone is literate, and especially from Central America.
You come here from Central America. Come everyone from Central America. Say you're gay and you're being politically persecuted.
I'm not disagreeing with you. Maybe some of those people should do what you're saying, but I just think...
I'm telling all of those people to do what I'm saying.
I just think...
I'm telling all those people. My mom was a paralegal for an immigration attorney, and if you want to come here legally, it's very...
It's not necessarily immigration, but haven't we all been in a situation where somebody else looking at your problems that you should do something about that, and you're just scared to do something?
Yes, and every single time I do what the person says, that's the good advice, I go, why the fuck did I wait so long to do that?
Or maybe you didn't do it, and then like years later, like you feel like you should have done it. I'm just saying, everyone is different. When you're in that shit, maybe it's obvious for somebody outside of it. This isn't just America, it's just human nature. Believe me, I have a lot of problems, and I should have done some of the things, or I should have handled it differently, but I didn't. I cannot speak for everyone. I'm just saying, I met enough of those people, and the people that I knew, they were scared and desperate, and they don't know what to do, and they're just scared. So I have sympathy for them. And maybe it's some of it's irrational reason why they're scared. But the people that I remember and the places they're from, it's frightening because they're desperate to get their life. They just had to leave, you know. It's just
see how empathetic and kind Yoshi sounds. Now I'm going to get all this hate tweets on Twitter.
No, I mean
all these hate tweets on Twitter because I'm telling people do it legally. It's not that hard. Not that hard.
I guess it just depends who you are. But
Asians and a white guy.
Before I go, I have to make.
We're gonna do a second half in like 5 seconds.
Yeah, but let me go, because I will forget. I was in Europe, and all this Europe have changed. This is the first time I've been to Europe where people are scared in Europe because all these refugees, over a million people in Germany, and things like that, and.
Okay, that's a different situation. I'm talking about Mexicans
but,
in the
U.S. But that, no matter how much Europeans bash Americans, whenever there's an incident with racial problems, we do an outstanding job. I've said it many times, assimilate people. But our good friend Vladimir Putin, a.k.a. Bruce Bolton of the Realpolitik, the reason why he's fucking with us is because he was angry how we treated him during the Ukraine war. So the Russians are finally withdrawing from Syria, but he's killing rebels who are against Bashar Assad and causing so much problem in Syria. So that way, all the refugees are going to Europe, causing problem for his enemies in Europe. So Angela Merkel, one of the most powerful, if not the most powerful women in the world, she might not win this fucking election because of this refugee situation. So anyway, if you're a fan of Realpolitik, Vladimir Putin is fucking with Europeans through the refugee situation. So anyway, we'll stop right now. After dinner, come back. Maybe we'll talk about something else. And thanks for listening. Listen to the part two when we come back. Bye. All right, we're back from dinner. And once again, if I didn't say it, I want to thank Andrew for fixing my computer. Yes. Asian guy asked white guy to fix it. So thanks. That was very helpful. I have a bunch of work to do, and you know, that's I don't need to have a brand new items. You know what I mean? Like, I'm very comfortable with the thing that laptop that Andrew sold me, and it's working out. It's fantastic.
Yoshi, so you never answered my question before the break because we got on a side tangent about politics and.
Yeah,
and illegal immigration. I'm still curious. What is the whole anti-Hillary thing?
let's try to put yourself in her shoes, right? She's been scrutinized for how many years, and it's been misconstrued, and that's why I think people think she's been not genuine or honest, but.
So that's,
amount of heat that she's gotten over the years, I'll be watching. I think twice before I answering people. I would imagine, and
so do you. So you the criticism you think is that she's dishonest?
The Clintons always had that reputation. Tricky. I mean, what did they used to call Bill Clinton? I mean.
I thought Tricky Dick was
not Tricky Dick, but Bill Clinton definitely had the reputation like some not being honest.
I see him as more of a weasel than she is because, I mean, first of all, who cares if he had an affair? Every single politician has an affair, and that's absolutely ridiculous that was used against him, in my opinion. But he seems to me, when I see someone who's very charismatic, like Donald Trump or Bill Clinton, Bill Clinton is very charismatic. I see that as someone who's more of a liar. She just seems awkward. I think she's just an awkward public speaker. I don't see that as being dishonest. I don't think she's honest like Bernie Sanders honest. Bernie is like, you know, been voting the same way and doing the same things for 30 plus years. He's Mr. Integrity. I don't think she's Mrs. Unintegrity, though.
It's always easier if you're the person behind to make those big statements, you know. But if you're the front runner, you do have to watch what you're saying, I would imagine. We deserve the politician we get because we're at fault, too. Because when politicians are being honest, saying the things that we have to do, sacrifice, save money.
Then they're not popular.
They're not going to get elected. So, I mean, as much as we like to point fingers that they're phony or whatever, but like, who's bigger phony? The people who don't follow what's going on overseas and bitch and complain, but... You know, I mean, I think the problem goes both ways, you know. But if you put a gun to my head and the only choice I have between Clinton and Donald Trump, yeah, Donald Trump would be perfect for my comedy business. But I don't think it's good for country and the rest of the world. And he doesn't strike me very presidential, in my opinion.
So you're voting this time. I'm not voting for the first time ever since I could vote, and you're voting.
Depends what I think is going to happen in California. But if I think Hillary's going to win landslide, I'm not going to waste my time. But if I think it's going to be close, I don't know why my vote is going to make any difference. But like I said, I guess it just depends on who gets who for vice president, too. I think it's a big factor, isn't it? If she get Elizabeth Warren, that I'll vote for Elizabeth more than anything. But
do you think that there's any truth to the fact that people hate Hillary because she's a woman, or do you think that's just fodder for the political?
I think they don't like her because it's Hillary. Because if Elizabeth Warren ran, I think a lot of people would love her. She has a very good reputation, in my opinion.
Is it her political reputation or her likability? Because Elizabeth Warren is a little less awkward and frumpy than Hillary Clinton. She's more well-spoken.
Let me ask you this. Because do you think most young women, 25 and younger, what do you think most 25 years old and younger women think about Hillary Clinton?
She probably reminds them of their mom or something like that.
I think younger women...
First of all, younger women support Bernie, which is bizarre.
Well, I
demographically.
I think older women remember what it is to be a secondary citizen. And to some extent, things are better, but there's still problems, right? But I think they tend to, I would imagine, support Hillary. But the younger women don't know her background. But I think younger women who really think on their own, what's the thing that Ronda Rousey called those women? Like, oh, she has a really derogatory those term for women who depend on others to take care of them.
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about, but I don't know what the term is.
I don't remember the term, but she made me laugh because she said, like, hey, I don't need any... she have a boyfriend, but she take care of herself. She works. She make her own money, you know? So that's what she was... She still is...
role like gold model, diggers or something?
Role model for young girls. I think younger women, if I was a young woman, I would look at Hillary Clinton and like, wow, she basically got into power because she was married to a right guy. And I think younger women probably, if they scrutinize her background, have a lot of questions because some people might say Trump is sexist, but Bill Clinton have quite a bit of questionable sexual behaviors, you know. Like Christopher Hitchens believed he raped that school teacher in mid-70s. And, you know, infidelity, this and that. And, like, why would a self-respecting woman will allow herself to be married with somebody like that, too? So I think some people might raise that question.
But maybe she had a reason to stay with him.
Yeah, that was a political she wanted to be reason. A president.
That was a political reason.
She wanted to be a president.
She's Claire Underwood.
Yeah, kind of.
She's a frumpier-looking Claire Underwood.
So, I mean...
I don't know if Bill is Francis.
But I'm not a... I will say about likability going back, Bill Clinton, I have to say, is incredibly natural politician.
He's super
charming.
He
loves people. He likes talking to people. I don't sense that from Obama and Hillary. Obama definitely have still that feeling like a professorial feeling to it. No, seriously, when he ran in 2008...
He does seem very professorial.
I mean, 2008, when he ran, if he were lost, it would have been sad, but he would have gotten over it. He seemed like a pretty normal for president. Like, he loved his wife and kids. He's like, okay, I tried. It didn't work out. It's not the end of the world. I think he would have been fine. I think it was devastating to Hillary Clinton... You know,
yeah.
But Hillary doesn't seem like a naturally comfortable around people. I don't think
compared well, that's what I was saying. She's very awkward.
Compared to Bill Clinton, Bill is just incredible.
That's what I'm saying, though. She's very socially awkward. She mm-hmm. and I think that that aligns a lot of the Hillary hatred.
Yeah.
It's not based on her political background. I think people just hate Hillary because she's... I mean, why do people hate Ted Cruz? Yeah, his politics suck, in my opinion.
He also looks like a vampire.
But he also looks horrible. And
he looks like a... No, seriously. He's 1 year younger than me.
You can't change the way you look. We talked about this before in the opposite direction. You were talking about your
friend. Look, his daughter didn't want to give him a hug in the public arena. What? Like, your own family don't like you. How the hell are you expecting everyone to vote for you?
But I mean, okay, so we talked about this before on another podcast in the opposite direction. You said your friend, Sasha Gray, who is very pretty, gets a lot of people say she has that bitchy look on her face.
Pouty look.
And she's saying, that's what my face looks like. I can't change the way my face
looks. And Carol Knightley have pouty face. Yes.
Yeah. So Hillary is like awkward. She's frumpy. She, like you said, she's not a natural politician. Her voice, even her speeches sound contrived, fake, pre-written.
And this thing, here's the thing. I'm inclined to think she's probably smarter than Bill. That's saying a lot because Bill Clinton's a very smart guy.
I think she's very intelligent, but I...
No, but I think she's smarter than him, but she doesn't have those natural qualities that make Bill Clinton ultimate politician. Let me tell you something. If there was no term limit, I think he'd still be president. You can't take that away. Like, Ronald Reagan had that charisma, but Clinton really had that people skill. Like, I don't know anyone who... Out of all the presidents, I don't think there was anyone like Bill Clinton.
People really loved Bill, and he was very charming.
And those impromptu speech and the fact that he could... Now, when it comes to foreign policy, I don't think he could do... He has nothing on Nixon. I think Nixon's incredible. But when it comes to talking to anyone, he knows little about everything. No, he knows a lot about a lot of different things, you know?
So I was just curious on your opinion of that because the only person I've talked to about it is my husband, Andrew. He tends to think people dislike Hillary because it was... Bush, Clinton, Bush, and then if it's going to be, and then Obama, and then if it's going to be Clinton again, it's like too much of the same families, too much establishment politics type
sure.
of thing. So that's what he thinks. But what I've noticed is that there's an angry, vitriolic hatred towards her when I talk about politics with her to other people.
Right.
Again, I'm not even voting, so it doesn't matter. And I, you know, the two candidates I like are complete opposites of the spectrum. I liked Bernie and I liked, Ron Paul's son, but he dropped out.
Yeah.
So my politics are bipolar, but I just noticed that whenever people talk about her in the political spectrum, there's a lot of angry, like violent hatred towards her. I think, you know what? I think more than Trump. You ask me, you think she's hated more than Trump? I kind of do. By the people that hate her, they hate her passionately. It's been surprising to me.
I'm not surprised, but... If I have to pick between the two, then I have to go with her, which is, it drives me crazy because I don't really care for her all that much. But eventually we have to say, like, okay, we have to get serious. We have to be serious, a country. The joke on us, it's been very funny here, but when it hits first Tuesday in November this year, we don't want that guy.
Okay, well, what happens? So a lot of people criticize Trump saying, well, he's friends with the Clintons. Right, that's the big criticism. There's a picture of the Clintons at his wedding.
Yeah, who cares?
To Melania, whatever her name is. What if the election comes, Hillary wins, mm-hmm. and Trump, by the way, who used to be a Democrat, turns around to the GOP and says, guess what? I punked you guys. This was just a decoy to help Hillary get in the White House.
Well,
and you guys are so dumb, you went for it. And this is the Apprentice... version 20. NBC's been filming the whole thing.
You're too young to remember, but in the 80s, Ronald Reagan, Ed Meese commission trying to destroy porn, and people in porn business always thought Republican, conservative, Christian coalition is going to destroy pornography, but it was really internet that did it. It's always something you unexpected to destroy, right? So what's hurting Republican Party? Well, they've been having all these idiot candidates for how many years and how much they cater to those fringe groups and nuts. Well, this is the price you pay. Now you're suffering Trump because you ran a dumb party, you know? That's what it comes down to. I mean,
because there's some points on the right that I agree with.
Of course, I agree on
fiscal concern.
I even agree with Nazis. They promoted super freeway. That doesn't mean
no. So fiscal conservatism, there are certain things I agree with on the right.
Yeah.
But they do cater to a lot of nut jobs, because that, you know, like the religious right.
Yeah.
I'm a religious person, but the religious right is like super cuckoo.
But you know how tradition, how they want it, Ronald Reagan, wink, wink, say all the things the religious right want to hear. But once you become a president, you can't give all the things that they ever ask for.
Yeah.
So everybody thought Ronald Reagan was going to push the button and nuke the whole world. So even if you voted for somebody and that person won, you don't know what you're going to get. Like, you know how many people are disappointed with Barack Obama? I'm glad, because that's what I expected. And like, they never do stuff that you want.
So what kind of stuff did he do promise that you're talking about? First of all, I think he promised amnesty to illegal immigrants, not to go back to illegal immigration. But he never did that, right?
It's, come on, just running for office like you're a horny teenager boy and you want to get laid. You say all the things the girl want to hear, but after you're done fucking her, you're not gonna give her, like, you're not gonna love her for the rest of your life. Or come on,
I wouldn't know, Yoshi.
But I mean, really, you have to be a. You got to pick someone who's going to do least amount of damage to your life. That's my feeling about the whole thing. But you shouldn't expect government to help you with your stuff. I just don't. I'll pick somebody who's going to fuck me over less. Sorry, you don't like what I'm saying, but I really do believe that. So,
I agree with you that what you said earlier. I think that this whole political season has been entertainment. It's not real, right? Real, it's like a puppet show for the real issues.
Nate Silver, who was right last two elections, almost like 99% accuracy, but he's been wrong about Donald Trump this election. So even the guy who is considered genius, and he is, Trump confounded everyone, you know? Because I thought by the time it hits April, which is, you know, next month, I thought he'll be dropping out. He's not dropping out at this point. the number in delegates, unless something really weird happened, like he got shot or I don't know. At this point, I don't see a situation where Trump is not nominated.
But do you think he even thought he would get this far?
No, because I told a couple of my friends the first time he went spoke and it went crazy and how much approval he got. I saw a picture of him kind of looking
to the side, like, is this really happening?
Advisors, it's like, holy shit, this shit is actually working. He's just so, you know.
Dude, I think he did it.
He's a good businessman, I guess.
I think he did it for publicity, and then it went out of hand.
Because he couldn't have lost no matter what, because any press is good for his business. Even if he's lost election, it was a good press for him. Book tour, more money, you know what I mean? It's just like, how could he lose? It was, you know, being part of a history and things like that. I met him at the Tonight Show. I went to Tonight Show one time. My ex-coworker Lisa, her daughter's big Jonas Brothers fans, so I know Jonas Brothers will be performing tonight. So I went there. I talked to their PR person, and she said, "Oh, give me a few minutes." So I had a picture of Lisa's daughter photograph. She took the picture and had all the boys sign it for him, for her. As soon as she was done, she came out of the green room. She was ready to give it to me, and Donald Trump just happened to be walking by. He grabbed a picture thinking it was for him. That's really bizarre. Right? Like, here's bizarre, right? Like, I'm like 37 or 38, and I'm walking in, like, that's really weird. Like, I'm old enough to be these boys' father, right? So I'm getting autographed. All of a sudden, Trump comes from nowhere and grabbed that picture.
Maybe he's a Jonas Brothers fan.
So she goes, "Oh, excuse me, Donald, that's for him. He's here for his friend's daughter and getting autograph." Oh, and he goes, "That's very nice." So he gave me that autograph. So Lisa should know that the picture that your daughter prized from signature for Jonas Brothers, it was actually touched by the future president of the United States. But did you know that Biff character in Back to the Future, that character was based on Donald Trump?
Oh, he was?
Yes. The writer said so. He said it years ago when the movie was, this is based on Donald Trump. Because, you know, Donald is loud, self-promotion, blowhard. You know, just a big ass.
Biff doesn't even know what such an annoying character.
That's funny. I didn't know that.
And 10 years ago or 5-10 years ago, Simpson predicted that he's going to win as a president of the United States. There was an episode of like that.
That's funny.
Yeah. He's just an asshole. That's what it come down to.
I don't think he's going to win, but hey, no one thought he would.
I don't know, but this is...
No one thought he would get this far.
I'm not laughing now. So... So that's that, and I guess, you know, we'll be done in 15 minutes or so, but we'll talk about American Girls. I will read that book. Hopefully we have a chance to talk about it. I'm curious what you have to say about it. I'm going to interview that dumb Aiko Tanaka, hopefully a couple days. So I have three episodes, then episode 149, I'm doing like an hour by myself. Then the 150 will be me saying thanks for everyone who actually listened to the show. And I still get people still downloading old episodes, you know. So that's
What is your solo episode going to be about? Just talking about sports and stuff?
No. Something that's been bothering me the last 4 years.
Oh, you don't want to get into it?
I will get to it once it's released.
And then I listen to the episode and you're just ranting about how annoying I am for an hour?
Oh, that's episode 138, 139, 140, Rosie.
Oh, Rosie is so annoying. Something, yeah. I've had to get off my chest for 4 or 5 years.
I'm trying to figure out, do we have anything more to talk about? I think, so everything's cool with you. You moved to a new place. Your husband have a new job at a great place. And but your podcasts are going well.
Yeah, everything's going good. Check it out. I have some shows coming up, but I think they'll be passed by the time you release this, so just listen to the podcast and follow me on Twitter at Funny Rosie.
So I guess one last thing that we should talk. I did see your brother in France.
You stayed with him.
And I'm releasing this sometime next week, so within a couple of days. So it's still within, I guess people are still talking about what happened in Belgium. The bombing of
Can I ask your opinion on
airport
something
and,
about the Belgian bombing? Because I've asked a lot of people, and again, I cannot get a straight opinion.
Yes.
So I get it.
Well, I'm not I'm just a former pornographer, so.
So I get it. ISIS, you know, they're bombing the West, blah, 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 terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
What is the motivation? What do they think is going to happen? Are they going to... Do they actually think that this is furthering their cause? Do they think they're going to bomb a city and then all of a sudden we're going to be like, oh, we're so wrong. We need to go and join ISIS. Like what? How is it furthering their cause to bomb cities? I don't even understand how they think it can further their cause.
If I was one of those, the Roose Boltons of the world, Game of Thrones reference, by the way. April 24th, 2016. Who's counting the days? Well, I think if I'm in Syria and having problem fighting the West and we're getting targeted and we're getting killed, I would imagine I would take battle to Europe. I think the thinking is... If you're doing these kinds of things where you're killing American Europeans, and obviously they're trying to kill Americans because they put a bomb, suicide bomber, right by American Airlines, I would imagine we'll be provoked by fear to pass a policy that is anti-liberty and maybe attacking or making Muslims' lives miserable in Europe. ISIS, I would imagine, turn around and use it as propaganda to trying to convert more people to extremists, should use it as propaganda against the West. So every time they do it, and I know it's very difficult, but we have to keep our cool, follow policy and study history and see what will make the situation better. Taking liberty away is not going to solve the situation. It's really hurting us as people.
But don't you think liberty has already been taken away with all these terrorist attacks and the extra security and the NSA? It's, to me...
You have to do a little bit of balancing act, right? I mean, I think I don't like it, but having a secured airport is probably in the long term a good thing.
But it didn't work. They had security there, and like you and Andrew were talking about in the car, notice was given about these guys to the officials, and nothing happened. So, you know, and how many... We've had Titan security since 2001, since 9/11, and the attacks still keep happening. So obviously the Titan security isn't working.
This is the first one that happened at the airport like that. Unless you count the one in LAX, like a year and a half, 2 years ago. Remember that guy when they started shooting people there?
Yeah.
What was the saying by Deng Xiaoping? Like, when you open the window, it gives you fresh air, but sometimes bugs will go in. That doesn't mean you're going to keep the thing closed not to have fresh air because you're always afraid of bugs. Obviously, no policy is going to have 100% protection from it, you know. But
I just feel that their plan is idiotic because when they keep... I hear what you're saying with the political maneuvering, but if you're continuing to bomb innocent people, all you're doing is increasing animosity towards your group. Because now Europe...
I don't like collateral damage, but it's part of the war. It will of course happen. I can't guarantee... No one could guarantee that's not going to happen, but it's unfortunate because we made the situation, made it possible for ISIL or ISIS to happen.
By destabilizing Iraq.
Yeah, and well, one of the biggest one is a couple things. Like, well, even a dumb guy like me could tell you, right after winning the war against Iraqis, firing all the military personnel was not a good idea because you upset them, you dishonor them. These people had a job. Now, once you fire them, you have all these people with military experience and weapon. What the fuck do you think they're going to do? You think they're going to start driving Uber and have a regular job? That's a bad policy. And we put Maliki, a Shiite, and because he was angry, he passed a policy to hurt Sunnis. And that created a reaction to that. So, and I think that you overheard me talk about with Andrew. I'm just repeating stuff Dexter Filkins from New Yorker was talking about, which is intelligent agencies don't like sharing information. A lot of these things could have been prevented. 9/11 and the fact that Prime Minister of Turkey said, hey, this guy, I don't remember the guy's name, I think he's a terrorist. You guys need to interview him. Well, he is one of the attackers a couple of days ago, a week ago, whenever it was, and no one followed through that. So quite often we have a system set up where people just need to pay attention, do their job. It just didn't happen, you know. 9/11, they caught those two guys from Malaysia who ended up becoming mastermind of part of that 9/11 attack, and CIA knew about it. It's in the book Looming Tower, but CIA never told FBI. So imagine every state in this country have different intelligence agency, but they don't share information. Well, the country's not safe. Well, it's true in Europe. The French are not talking to German, or the French are not sharing information with German. German is sharing it with Belgium, on and on. So I think terrorists know that they're the way things are set up, it helps them, you know.
But
why is it that guy could be on the run in Belgium for 4 months because the Kremlin are underground and that they have a weak police force? They're not talking to each other. Belgium is divided by, you know, linguistically two different parts, right?
The French and the Dutch.
Yeah, right. Flemish. So even in tiny country, they're not talking to each other. So it's they have to figure a way to change it. They have smart people there, but if they're not working with each other, and I'm not smart enough to say how to make that happen, I have no idea. Because 9/11 should have never happened because they weren't talking to each other. So I don't know how you make that
that's
happen.
That still doesn't really answer my question, though. I mean, that's the defensive side of things, but I don't...
What's the question?
I don't understand how... You said possibly that... They're thinking that we'll pass some type of foreign policy, anti-Islamic foreign policy, that they can use in their rhetoric to recruit more members for the Islamic State. But that's kind of a risk to say, oh, we might kill all these innocent people and they might pass a law and we might be able to. How do these terrorist attacks killing innocent people directly affect your policy? First of all, I have no issue mm-hmm. with targeted warfare for your cause. Game of Thrones style, right? So if you want to go after our government, fine, bomb the White House, bomb a government agency, make a message. I don't know. But killing innocent people, it's like, that doesn't do anything.
I don't know.
Bomb the government.
I don't know if
bomb our central bank.
I don't know if this is the reason why they're doing it, but I guess if you kill a bunch of innocent people, then the voters would think only way we could stop these people from killing us is we voted out people in our government who are supporting going to war in Syria. That might be one of the thinking. Two, they might follow this policy that will make Muslims angry or put them in a disadvantaged situation. Then ISIS will use that as propaganda to try to recruit more people. That could be another possibility too.
But if you have a war in the West, don't you think it's more of a statement to like assassinate, you know, a major figure or do something? Why kill innocent people? That's I'm not saying don't kill people. I'm saying don't kill anyone.
I don't know if killing the major person, it'll be easy for terrorists though. I'm sure they want to.
So let's just kill random people. It's like, it doesn't, to me, it's not very strategic. They need to watch more Game of Thrones and get a game plan on. Because this is like, what's the point of this? Just to cause chaos? I mean, I don't get it.
Well, I think they're recruiting more because of it. And the part I don't understand is that 40% of fighters coming from Europe going to Syria to fight, out of all the Europeans, and I read this, about 7,000 Europeans have gone to Syria
to fight for ISIS. And they're European of Syrian descent?
No. They're Europeans, but they're Europeans. It could be Moroccan living in Netherlands that decide to go and fight for ISIS. But out of 40% of 7,000, so about 3,000 or whatever, 2,800, those are converts. These are I don't think many of them are ethnically people from Muslim or Northern.
So you're like, how the heck are these people getting converted?
Yeah. Well, I know why people from the regular Arab-looking Muslims.
Because they feel discriminated. They feel like outsiders. They feel
if they don't
displaced.
All of those things, I agree. I think if they don't think they have a future and they see this excitement and over in the Middle East, I think, you know, believe it or not, young men love sex. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Young men also love violence. That's why most of the fightings are done by young men. And I think
young men love the idea of violence and the idea of it. But let me tell you something. When you see some of the, for example, gang members in the U.S. who are former gang members with their legs cut off and their arms shot off and they're in a wheelchair, it's not that glorious.
It's not glorious, but
the idea of it at first is glorious.
But they don't know that until they get there. You know, the fact is, if you live in a shitty part of the world and you're a Muslim, so you decide to go to fight, I understand, but 7,000 from Europe, and even if you're discriminated, living in Europe is not that bad.
Europe is very nice.
It's very, very nice. And if you're going to tell me 40%, this is based on Dexter Falcon. He's an expert on that. 40% are converts. So what are they? Are they alienated? Yeah, maybe I'm sure there's a lot of that stuff too. But I've been alienated too. But I never feel like I need to grab a gun and go to war anywhere when I was a teenage kid. I was just...
Or strap
I
on a,
bitch and whine, but
or
like,
strap on a bomb to your body and go blow up 100 people. That.
So, you know, Dexter Falcon, all these smart people writing about it. I just know that I can't remember which country that there's a lot of those people are converting and going to fight. But at the end of the day, I do think young men like adventures, and they like to fight, and they probably like the idea of it. Now, whether they like forever, I'm sure they change their mind once they go to Syria and see people getting killed. But, you know, you make dumb mistakes when you're young. It's just, I made a different kind of dumb mistake, but not like that. That's a really big...
Well, a lot of people do that just in America. You know, a lot of people join the military because they want to fight or defend their country.
Sure.
They get over there and see what's really going on, or a buddy gets an arm blown off, and all of a sudden fighting for your country doesn't seem that fun and adventurous anymore.
Yeah, it's not my
or your best friend gets PTSD and, you know, snaps every time he hears fireworks, and you're like, oh, maybe this isn't that, you know, honorable.
But by the way, do you know there's a one country, even though they have years of fighting war and things like that, but very little PTSD? You know which country that is? I'm sure there's a few other ones, but it's interesting.
Well, it's definitely not Vietnam, because I think we have like 40% PTSD.
Israel.
Oh, I was going to guess that. Oh, I was going to guess that because I have met a guy from the Israeli army, and he was talking about something. I don't know. I was going to guess that. Oh, gosh darn it.
Sebastian Younger talking about that. He basically said that when these guys leave war, come home.
And everyone's required to be in the Israeli army.
Yes. When Americans come home, some of them experience PTSD because, unlike Vietnam War, when you come back home most Americans say thank you for your service and stuff like that. We learned that lesson, valuable lesson, that show appreciation. But the problem is, even if you say thank you and appreciate what you did, if they're civilian, they have never served, myself included.
But everyone in Israel has served, right?
They don't know what they went through. And the people who just got back from fighting, they can't relate to someone who's never served. Whereas Israel, everyone have served, so you don't feel isolated. Men, women, everybody served just about, unless you're sick or something or you had an exemption.
What is it, every 18-year-old?
Yeah, 2 years. I can't even say her name. The gal that plays Wonder Woman. She served 2 years in Israeli defense. And I think Sebastian Anger explained that
so the PTSD comes from the isolation?
It's isolation and...
trauma plus the isolation.
Yeah, because a lot of them, even they lose their leg, you know how many times these guys say, I want to go back and fight because he missed his colleagues, you know what I mean? Like, these are like your... It's a brotherhood. So you want to be with them, even if you lost an arm or leg, they want to go and fight. And these are the group of people that you could relate to because they know exactly what you're going through and you know what they were going through. So... Sebastian Younger theorized that the reason why they have so little PTSD in Israel because everyone have served. So when they say thank you and you know what they're going through, what you're going through, you could believe it. They know what you're going through because everyone went through it. You're not isolated
you have a support system.
Yeah. So I think there's a huge disconnect with military.
Well, what is the percentage of the population in the U.S. that has been active duty? It's like only 1 or 4%. It's a very small percentage.
Very small percentage.
It's like less than 10%, I think.
So some people think like maybe it would be better off if you have a mandatory service or something like that. And if you would have told me 25 years ago when I was like 28 years ago, I was like, fuck that.
Now that you're too old to serve, you're pro-mandatory service.
But... there's something to say about that. You know, like when Sebastian Younger was explained like that, that makes a lot of sense to me, you know?
Well, there's also an idea that because there's no draft in the U.S. anymore, that the military, it's kind of a tax on the poor in a way, because typically people...
Poor, that's disproportionate number of fighting.
Disproportionate.
Yeah.
Because people go for the college, you know, credit, VA loans and other things like that.
Sure.
People that can't afford to will go into service. And it's disproportionately more people who are low income.
There was a riot in New York City during American Civil War where rich were exempt if pay enough money. People with no money were angry because they have to go and serve what their children have to serve, you know. So that was an issue. But fighting's always been, generally speaking, it's always been fought by the poor people, just like most of the boxers are from poor income demographic. You don't see too many upper class people want to go and box and get punched in the face, you know. That's just seriously, boxing, even though they call it the gentleman's fight, whatever, sweet science, whatever, that was in like 1800, you know. Oscar Wilde was a boxer, but really these days, how many one percenters descend him
golf.
Fight professionally.
Golf, or tennis.
Yeah. Those are predominantly white sports.
Golf,
you know?
Tennis, or swimming.
Yeah. Or advanced chess or go or whatever you want to play. But yeah, it's that's what it comes down to. But anyway.
Or trading stocks. That's a sport.
Yeah. So everyone, I guess we should stop because it's about an hour and a half, hour and 40 minutes. I mean, it's just like last time, like it go all over the place. I don't even know why people listen to.
Don't listen to Yoshi. This is a great and interesting podcast. And don't send me mean tweets about the illegal immigration thing. Yoshi took my comments out of.
It's easy for me to say that because funny things, the population declining Europe. And most of the Syrian, unlike like places like Afghanistan, literacy rate is very high in Syria. So in the long run, Germany is going to benefit from these well-educated, good citizens. And, you know, I don't know if you heard me, but Putin and the Russians are in Syria. They're leaving now, but they were destabilize the place, kill a group of people who are against Assad. So that way, all the illegal those refugees are going to Europe, and that will destabilize Europe. It really is.
The refugee crisis is different. I did hear you say that. The refugee crisis in Europe is different than, I think, illegal immigration in America because it's a dire situation in Syria.
Yes, but I think Putin's doing it because he wants to fuck with the Europeans because Europeans are very angry with him doing Ukraine, partially Ukrainian territory is taken over.
Are there still sanctions because of the Ukrainian
I'm sure.
I think that they put sanctions on him.
But when he got his face involved with Syria, everybody have to talk to him, right?
I'm going to call him Roose Bolton from now because that picture is so similar.
Yeah.
Roose Putin?
even
Bolton and Putin kind of sound similar.
I just think that's a smart politic by Putin. It's not good for the world peace. But by putting his dirty finger all over Syria, they know that if they want to have peace in Syria, they have to negotiate with Russia. It gave him a bargaining chip.
A chess piece.
And occupy part of Ukraine. And Russian people, even though he's doing some dirty shit, Russians have a different criteria for being a good, effective leader, which is strength. They know he assassinate and kill people. They know that. Look at him. You think Cruz is a vampire? Look at him. My God. But Russians love strength and they have a proud history and he's bringing a lot of pride back to their country. But I just think Russians have a bigger issue. Unemployment, corruption.
But his numbers are really... I mean, I don't know if it's because their media is more filtered than ours. Our media is a shitstorm. He's very popular.
Very
he's like popular. An 80% approval or something
very,
like that.
Very powerful.
And people love Putin
yeah,
in Russia.
Because Russians don't care about liberty and democracy and justice. They want strength.
And ethics.
They want strength. And he has a lot of it. But the population is shrinking. Alcoholism is... high, and even though when they have a financial crisis, one thing Putin will not allow the price of vodka to go up. This is true. This is a policy he had. Make sure the vodka price doesn't go up. And, you know, he...
So what does he do? He gives government subsidies to the vodka companies?
Or he's going to give those companies a hard time if they do such a dumb things. He had people get killed. Let's be honest. Look at him. So it's a smart... But in the long run, is it good for Russia? No. Free market will make more money for the country. More money means they can increase their population. I mean, they're right next to China, you know.
Well,
they have a lot of domestic problem, but right now I think he's very popular because he's doing some really tough, cold-hearted things in the Middle East and Europe. And very Roose Bolton. I just hope they don't have who's that? His psycho son.
Oh, Ramsay.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
People that don't watch Game of Thrones are like, what are these people talking about?
Let's finish it with this. So are you excited about the season 6 of Game of Thrones?
I'm very excited. I saw some preview stuff on YouTube and some predictions from certain YouTube videos that I watch. And I'm ready. I'm ready for Sansa just to rise, for Queen Elizabeth to rise.
Who's your favorite characters? And name three or four favorite characters and three or four you hate.
My favorite characters are, of course, Peter Baelish.
Of course.
Sansa Stark, Arya.
In those order?
Oh, Baelish is my number. First of all, can I just say that the first four or five seasons, I did not care about the first three seasons, I didn't care about Peter Baelish at all.
What changed?
He was so sneaky in the first three seasons that he was almost invisible. And once you realize that he orchestrated the war, the entire war, and how intelligent...
It was him. It was
him the whole time.
Yeah.
I think you gave me the metaphor, actually, of those bitchy girls that whisper mean things into each other's ears to make other people fight.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what he does. He's very intelligent.
Yes.
Realpolitik.
Yes.
I think he's the one that's playing the real Game of Thrones. He's playing the actual game. He's using intelligence and cunning to manipulate people.
Do you know who is probably equal to his skill, political maneuvering?
The bald guy, Varys.
Varys, yes.
Yes.
In fact, Varys have more spy his spy network is slightly bigger than Peter Baelish, for sure.
Probably bigger, because Peter Baelish's brothels were destroyed by the that religious order. Some of my least favorite
Those two are very interesting, because Varys doesn't have balls and testicles. I mean, he doesn't. So he doesn't have a desire. And Peter Baelish, brothel owners, he knows the people's weakness. One way or another, he knows he has things over people's head, blackmailing. That's his strength, you know.
And I like Marjorie's grandmother.
Yes, Oriana.
Oriana. Tyrell. Some of my least favorite characters are...
I guess you like Tyrion as well.
I like Tyrion, but he's not in my top favorite.
Okay.
I think that... Okay, my least favorite character is Ramsay Bolton, because I think he is very one note. He's not three-dimensional. He's all about torture, torture, torture. To be honest, kind of boring.
Yeah.
My second least favorite character is the boy toy that Daenerys Targaryen takes to her bedroom.
Oh, yeah.
He's so boring. So boring and not that attractive. I don't know why he's like the hot boy toy. And then...
Well, hold on a second. All right, I'm back. So what were you saying last? We got to finish soon.
I don't remember, but I...
Your least favorite people. Ramsay Bolton.
You know... Why am I blanking on her name? She's the lead main character, Lannister.
Cersei.
Cersei's boring. She's not intelligent. Just like her dad told her. He said, "You're not as smart as you think you are." She is rash.
She's smart enough to be dangerous because of the bad decisions.
Yeah, but she's not as smart as she thinks she is, and she's not playing the game correctly. The game. I think her father was good at playing the game.
Oh, absolutely.
I think her father was very, very intelligent.
When he died, it opened opportunity for everybody to go against Lannister now.
Yeah, so she doesn't know how to play the game. So she's one of my least favorite characters, not because she's, you know, kind of conniving or whatever. It's because she doesn't play the game correctly. I think Sansa's learning to play the game, and I like that. I can't wait to see her kind of get a little bit dark and evil. I'm sick of her little goody-two-shoes act.
You definitely saw her change.
She's twisting.
When her aunt got murdered by Peter Baelish, and she started playing that game. Remember that? Yeah.
She started playing the game. So I like Game of Thrones because I like the game. I like watching the chess pieces move. I like watching people connive and manipulate and make little things and make little pieces move and twist and turn. You know, the reason I think Cersei is such an idiot is because she allowed the religious... Or she's like going to get killed by these religious people.
She should have seen that she was putting herself in
corner. Hello. Yeah. It's you don't. We already know how crazy religious, super religious people are. So to me, she's an idiot.
Any ruler knows that one of the scariest things you have to deal with is people who actually have principle and actually believe in something. They're dangerous because even...
Extremist beliefs.
Yeah, because even a threat of death will not change their position. And that's really scary for them, you know.
Well, what's even scarier that a threat of death will not change their position is that logic, reasoning, and fact won't change their position.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there are scientific studies that show people that have very strong beliefs like that, even if you show them facts to, in their face,
contrary to what they
believe. Contrary to what they believe, the facts actually make them cling to their beliefs even stronger.
But religion is not based on facts. It's based on faith, and you just believe it, you don't believe in it. So it's not like you could have scientific explanation like Jesus doesn't exist. You know, just can't. You either believe or you don't. And Kierkegaard called the leap of faith, you know. You just, so when you're dealing with people like that, how do you argue? You just don't. I don't want to argue with somebody believing something. If they're Muslim, they're Muslim. Or if they're a member of Scientology, they believe in it, you know. I remember I was at the Little Tokyo Library a couple of weeks ago. There was a guy promoting a book. Why am I blanking? Barry Lancet. He's American, living in Japan. Wrote three mystery thrillers in Japan. He's selling a third book. First one was optioned by J.J. Abrams. So we became friends on Twitter account. We finally met. But the guy who was in charge of running that show at the Little Tokyo Library, he was living in Japan for 15 years promoting Christianity. And then I was telling him, like, oh, that's interesting, because the first white people I met are Mormons, and this white Protestant or Presbyterian, whatever, the Seventh-day Adventist, one of those religious guy, he said, like, well, you got to understand, Mormons are not really Christians, right? And whenever people say stuff like, it always makes me laugh, because it's one superstitious group of people making fun of another superstitious group of people, right? Like, I mean,
but,
I'm not going to argue with them because they believe. So, like, I'm not going to wait.
But not only that, the danger of belief, there's a power of belief and a danger of belief. There's the side to both coins. And I'm not just talking about religious beliefs. You can have a belief, for example, a cultural belief, like in India, they have a cultural belief that, you know, you're probably going to make a joke, but that women are below men.
Yeah.
And that's causing a lot of problems right now because...
Sure, all the terrible...
all the rapes women are getting educated.
Murdered and burned and acid thrown into their faces.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So when I talk about the danger of belief, you know, religion is just one example, but there are people out there that are atheists that have very strong beliefs one way or the other about certain things in their life,
yeah,
whether it's culture or society or whatever.
Sure.
And they're so brainwashed by their belief that it doesn't matter how many facts you show them, they will still cling to that belief.
And
so,
those people you need to kill.
Well, that's 80% of people.
I'm not joking. There's, I mean, some people are just too old. They're too old. They believe in those terrible ideas. You can't reason with them. That's why when you look at dollar bill back of it, you see a bald eagle. One claw is holding olive branch. Another one holding 13 arrows for that 13 original colonies. And that eagle's facing the olive branch because whenever there's a problem, when you're dealing with people or a group of people or a country or whatnot, we hope we do the right thing by trying to talk and negotiate and offer olive branch first.
But they still have the arrows.
But if that doesn't work out, then you got to kill the fucker. That's what it comes down to. I mean, I like to reason with people, but sometimes there are groups of people that you just can't reason. And so we have to kill them.
The fear Yoshi.
But like, some people need to be killed because that they don't understand anything beside that. And I don't have a once. I mean, how do you? And if you give enough time, I think you could even change places like Afghanistan. Because my friend Salman Zaini with the TV show, even last 15 years, attitude have changed. Even places in Afghanistan. Granted, it's very slow change. But it can change. So I'm hoping in the long run, people change and behave better and civilize, whatever that means. But there's others who will never change, and they're going to try to do something about it. And those, you just have to kill them. I don't know what else to tell you. Like, I don't feel bad to saying that. There are some people deserve to be killed because, you know, I guess we should end it by...
Some people deserve to be killed.
Yes.
Yoshi Obayashi.
We try to reason with them, and after a while, they don't change their ways, and they're making people's lives miserable. Then I don't know what to tell you. You have to kill them. You have to kill them.
And that's the podcast.
That's Obayashi 2016. So anyway, Rosie, I'm going to try to finish that book, American Girls by Nancy Jo Sale, I think is her name. And it looked like a very interesting read. So as soon as I'm done, I'll bring the book. You read it. We'll go over it. and then we'll talk about it, and that'll be end of that, and maybe Aiko will do a podcast in between. But thanks for doing it. That was fun. Always fun talking with you
about random stuff.
Yeah. I didn't know you were that conservative about immigration. But anyway, I thank you and sometimes when I meet someone that they don't have the same position, I think they're wrong, but that doesn't mean that they don't have a right to have that position, because I could very well be wrong too. Sometimes even good people don't agree, but what are you going to do? I just have to kill them. All right, Rosie, you want to tell them one more time your podcast and we'll get out of here?
Sure. Out of the Box Podcast with Rosie Tran. It's the only Out of the Box podcast, I think. I think there's one more, but it's like a radio music thing. And then follow me on Twitter at Funny Rosie.
All right. Guys, thanks for listening, and this was episode 148, and maybe there's one or two more part of it for 148, but after that, 149, me talking for an hour, and 150 saying goodbye to you guys. Thanks. Talk to you guys later.